Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Today, it's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Ernie Burns is here. Ernie is the president and CEO of Burns Estate Planning and Burns Wealth Advisors. Master certified estate planner he is. $1 million roundtable member. And that tells you that he's got he's been around the block a couple of times and been to town. He's you may have seen his bylines published in a number of the important financial magazines. He's here to talk to us about estate planning. Ernie Burns, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. So, Ernie, I like the way you think about estate planning because it's not just for the rich, right? I was telling the audience before you got here that we're not going to talk about mansion estate planning. We're going to talk about Main Street estate planning. What do you think?
Correct. A lot of times it's not always about the wealth in the sense of transferring the assets. A lot of times it's about just basically making sure your wishes or to the individuals you like to get everything all your assets to. In other words, a lot of times it's individuals in your family that you want to give certain assets to and that you think that they might have issues in the family. Spending problems, unfortunately, drug habits. You get out of touch with some of the children, or you think there might be some interference with the spouses of children
right
upon death. In some cases, it's not the children, it's the spouses. Well, your dad died, you should inherit your assets now.
Mm-hmm.
Or unfortunately, if it's stepchildren, second or third marriages, things of that nature. So there's a variety of different reasons for proper estate planning.
It's gotten more complicated, hasn't it? I mean, back in Ozzie and Harriet days, you could almost have a will, right? And the will would serve everybody. But today, with so many divorces, so many different families, and as you say, different, you know, step families, and et cetera, and oftentimes maybe a difference in the age more than there used to be between mom and dad, between the couple who owns the estate, so to speak. There's a disparity in the age of those people. For example, if the wife is a lot younger than the husband, and the husband has the children, you know, then you get those issues. I mean, there's all kinds of it's a big mixed bag that you have to deal with these days, and it takes a lot of complicated, a lot of hard work and a lot of different products, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. I mean, sometimes a will is sufficient enough. It just depends on the complexity of the estate. But a lot of times also, a little bit more often now than, like you said, you need advanced legal documents like a revocable living trust. In those cases, it's revocable while you're living. You can change it, but upon death, it's irrevocable. So therefore, the children can whine and snot, excuse the expression, as much as they like. It doesn't really matter. At that time, it is irrevocable. It cannot be changed.
So an irrevocable trust, it only becomes irrevocable upon the death of which of both people or the person is a trust for one person or for two people?
Okay. A revocable living trust turns irrevocable upon the first spouse's death on half of the estate.
So revocable living is the term that becomes irrevocable on the death.
On the death, yes.
The death of who?
Well, it's an A-B trust. A becomes irrevocable on half of it upon the first spouse's death.
Right.
Then part B becomes irrevocable, so the whole trust, upon the second spouse's death.
Do you
so the wishes?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So though the wishes are solid upon the second spouse's death and the first spouse's death, it cannot be changed.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of you said A and B, do you define what A and B are, or is it 50-50?
Well, you can define A and B.
When he means A, folks, he means A would be when the first spouse dies, and B would be when the second
correct.
Spouse dies. Go ahead.
Right, after death, before death, correct. So, therefore, if it's a second marriage and the husband has a large estate, say, not even that large, say $800,000, and he wants to make sure his new wife is taken care of, and then his children will receive everything of the separate assets upon his death, the children can't do anything about that. He's going to take care of that second spouse
mm-hmm.
until death. It is irrevocable upon that time period, so mm-hmm. the children cannot come in and
but in that same document, though, there could be the person could say, upon my death, my estate transfers to my spouse, with the exception of these assets, which transfer to my children.
Correct.
And that gives the children something in advance of the death of the spouse. Whether it be their mother or their parent or a step-parent.
Correct. There's a book that a lot of individuals use, Henry Apps, The Living Trust,
mm-hmm.
that is nationally known. It can guide a lot of people to how a trust works and what type of trust is the proper one for their estate. There's 12 different types, so it can be kind of complex. Very complex.
If it's just a traditional family, mom and dad are still together, the kids and everybody's happy, you can write a lot of this stuff into a will, can't you?
Yes.
But there's a will, but the will, but both parties have to have a will, right? So it endures.
Correct.
A trust sets up for both and endures on its own.
Correct. Depending on the state that you live in, some states a handwritten will is legal and you can write a lot of this information in. Some states you do need an attorney. In fact, most states you do
mm-hmm.
need an attorney, and it's probably more involved if it's a simple estate, exactly what your wishes might be. However, a living trust, a revocable living trust, a revocable trust, as some people call it, is the most common if you want to make sure that your estate is protected from probate or succession.
Ernie, hold on to that thought. We're going to talk some more about this, folks, and talk about some different funding products. What does it cost typically to do a trust? $1,000?
It depends. No, depending on the estate that you're sitting work, $2,000 to $5,000.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.